In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's a great blessing, indeed, to be among you today and to pray the Divine Liturgy in this special day, in this church. And it's always a blessing to hear of new churches, new services, especially if it's a church with a vision, and especially if it's led by a priest with a vision, under a leadership of a great leader and a great teacher of the century, Pope Shenouda. We pray that God will protect this church, make it to prosper, and make it to bring forth fruits. And we can see already the fruits in the area with so many people so happy with this wonderful service. And we pray that God will protect it from all the evil powers who will try to be like a stumbling block in the way of the service. But we have assurance from the promise of God that no force on earth can stop the work of God and stop the service of God, as long as it is for the glory of His name. We are sure that this church and our churches in the area are all working for the glory of God's name. We pray together that God will help us all in serving His glory and helping us to serve His name. Today, as Abuna Bishoy mentioned a few minutes ago about the readings of today, that they are all revolving around the baptism and around the newborn of the Spirit, the second born that our Lord Jesus taught in the Gospel today of the Matin prayer, if you've heard it, when our Lord was talking to Nicodemus about the newborn. And it was not very clear and very understanding to Nicodemus. It was not easy for him to understand how a man can be reborn again. And nowadays we hear a lot about born again. Today we would like to understand the real meaning of born again. Our Lord Jesus made it very clear that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So, for any one of us, and I'm sure if we are all here today, it means one thing, that we all want to enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't expect any other reason. Why would someone wake up early on Sunday morning and go to church to do anything else but to go and worship God for the purpose of entering the kingdom of heaven and enjoying God's glory? So if we are here today, all of us with one goal, which is to enter the kingdom of heaven, and we know that there is a condition to enter the kingdom of heaven, and this condition is to be born again, we need to have a clear understanding of the meaning of being born again. As a matter of fact, if we refer to the Greek word of the word born again, especially the word again, we will find the Greek Bible uses a word called anothen. I don't know Greek, by the way, but I just searched, of course. Anothen. Does anyone know Greek here? Well, that's comforting. Good. Safe. Okay. The word anothen has several meanings, actually. That's the exact translation of the word again. But it has different meanings. The first meaning is to start over from the beginning. To start over from the beginning. I want you to imagine in any sport. Can you, for example, think of a baseball game? And someone started to do a home run. He couldn't make it. He would go back again and talk to the judges and say, "Oh, okay, give me another chance. I'll just go back again to where I was standing. And I will start to run again. And this time I'll try to run faster. So I'll start from the beginning, and this time I'll make it home run." Of course, they would be laughing at him. No one will give him another chance. Well, you had your only chance, and you failed to make a home run, so it's gone. You're out. Imagine in a driving test when you go and you ask your instructor after you couldn't make it through the test or you made a lot of mistakes and you tell him, okay, hold on 1 second. Okay, we'll go back again and we'll restart all over again and give me another chance, and this chance I will not waste, and I promise you that this time I will not make any mistakes. The instructor will laugh at you and say, okay, you can call the office and make another appointment like 6 months or a year later. Right? No one on earth here, even for the silliest thing, will give someone another chance to start from the beginning fresh as if nothing happened. If you write a test, it's over. You cannot go back and say, okay, hold on 1 second, I want to rewrite it again and give me a chance to redo it all over again. God, with His mercy and compassion, is ready any time, any day, to give another chance to someone to start and restart from the beginning as if nothing happened before. Once we go back to God and say to God, well, we want to be born again, He will tell you, okay, I will give you another chance to start all over again. And you will understand the meaning in few minutes. Just bear with me. But I want first to make us understand the meaning of the word. Then we'll understand the theology behind it. The second meaning of the word again is from above. If we go back to the Greek words anothen, we will find the meaning is from above. And that gives us another dimension of understanding being born again. That this newborn couldn't be just an earthly born. It has to come from above. And by the way, this is the same word that John the Baptist used here when he was talking about our Lord Jesus in the Gospel. And he said that whoever comes from above, you know, in the Gospel now, that we just read, says here, our Lord Jesus is coming from above. So John the Baptist referred to him as whoever comes from above is above all. But he who is of the earth is earthly. But whoever comes from above, referring to the Lord Jesus, is above all. And he used the very same word for the word above here. That means that this newborn and this reborn, and this born again has to be from above. It cannot be from the earth, because earth has nothing but sin to give. But above, where God is glory, purity, and righteousness. If we understand now the two meaning of the word again, the one meaning is to start all over from the beginning, and the second meaning is from above. If we put them together, we can understand the thought of God that He's trying to convey to us today about the meaning of born again. God doesn't believe in renovations, and He doesn't believe in just fixing things. He wants to have new hearts, pure hearts. So any sinner, when he approaches God with his sins, God doesn't like to just refurbish him or just to use some weed and feet to clean him from some of the weeds. No. When we go to God, He wants to resod the whole ground. He wants to create a new creation. He wants us to restart from the beginning. The church has a great sacrament called the sacrament of baptism, where actually every Christian has to go through to become a Christian, which is a new born, which is a born again. First, we take the person who will be baptized and baptize him, make him to die with Christ, and make him to rise with Christ again. And that's a new birth for him. And at this moment, he is a new person altogether. Even one of the nice customs of the church is to give a new name for this person. Maybe he is a newborn person. Gives him a Christian name. So now he is a totally new person. The old person died with Christ in the baptism. That's why we use immersion also in baptism. The first person died. We don't know him anymore. We don't see him anymore. Whoever is coming out of the baptistry is a newborn person. With a new name, with a new nature, with a pure nature, and with righteousness also. Because now he is born all over again, and he is born now from above, not from any earthly means. Then what? Is the process over? Sometimes people will say or ask a question, have you been born again? And you say, no. Okay, now you can be reborn again. And now you are reborn again and the process over. Or you say, yes, I was reborn again last year. And that's it, the process is over. Big mistake. That's not the right teachings of the apostles. The right teachings of the apostles and the right teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ is the process of the being born again is a continuous process that has to continue for the rest of the life of the person. From the moment he is born again in the baptistry to the end of his life, he has to be born again and again and again every second of his life. And here I will need some help from a medical doctor. Probably Dr. Amir can help me with this because I don't like to step in an area that I'm not so confident with, which is the medical field. Medically and clinically, our bodies, thinking about our bodies, how do we grow? Like, for example, when a child is born, he's like this big, right? And now I'm this big. How did that happen clinically? Was any new cells being born, or the cells of the baby were just inflated like this, day after day after, the same cells being just inflated, then he becomes a full grown up? There is always new, very renewal of cells. So old cells will die and new cells will. So if I look at my cells now, will be the same cells I was born with? Every cell has a life. Then this cell has to die, and a new cell has to be reborn. Great. That's very good. That's very comforting. All right. How about if someone has a disease or a problem that he cannot, or his body cannot, generate new cells? What happens to him?
Well, an example of that is the brain, for example. So the number of brain cells seems to be constant all through the life. So, thank you. So an example of lack of generation of new cells is the brain, which we have all our cells when we are born. It might evolve in size, but not in number. That's right. There's an insult in the brain, like a blood vessel is blocked, something, a person gets a stroke and cannot move one side of his body or her body, and that sometimes, or many times, is not reversible.
And can we call this a process of death?
A partial death, I guess, not death of the whole...
For this part, let's say, of this part that doesn't grow. Yeah, this part that cannot produce new cells. Can we consider it clinically dead?
Yes, definitely. I mean, if you look at it, it's there, dead cells.
So it's basically dead cells. Right. So in other words, we can basically simply say that if a person or part of his body does not generate new cells, and in other words, like in my language here, I would say, if there is no newborn cells, we can say that this person is or this part of his body is dead.
Correct.
Well, spiritually, the same thing. God has a pattern in his creation. God is unbelievable. He makes things very clear to us when he wants to convey a message. He doesn't make himself a mystery. He likes to clear it up. And one of the things that he conveys his message with is nature around us, including medicine, including biological functions and trees and stars and everything. God repeats patterns of his creation. So if that's the case physically, if we apply the very same principle spiritually, we can tell that unless my spirit is growing every day, and unless the cells, the spiritual cells of my spirit, are newborn every day and born again every day, I am in a death status. So the newborn here idea and the born again idea does not stop at the time when someone is baptized, or someone would say, I surrender my life to Christ, or now I am a newborn person, or now I am born again today. The process does not end at this point, but the process has to be completed for the rest of the life of the person through born again, and born again. And the process of being born again needs, as in a physical world also, needs food and water. No one can live without food or water. Christ here made a very clear statement here by saying, unless you are born again from two things still, and those two things are food and water. Where is the food and where is the water? He said to be born again from what? From water. So he mentioned water literally, right? So water is water. Good. And spirit. So spirit is food. So now we have water and food. Well, water comes from the church, because from the beginning, when Moses took his people, the Israelites, and walked into the wilderness, and they ran out of water, God told them, take your staff, Aaron's staff, and hit the rock with it, and the rock is Christ. We all know that. And water flew out of the water, and all drank and lived. The same thing, while our Lord Jesus was on the cross, a soldier took a spear and again pierced the side of Christ. And here we go, we have water flowing out again, which we all know that this is the birth of the church of the New Testament. Water and blood flew away, which we have every day on the altar in our communion. So the water that we have to drink, otherwise we will die, is the communion that we have every day, that the church provides for us every day. The church doesn't do divine liturgies just for the fun of it, or just because we don't have anything better to do. No, we do it because we know that through the liturgy, we produce the water that Christ made it a condition for our life, and a condition for our born again status that we need to be in all the time. So we get the water from the church. How about someone who did not have communion for a year or so? Maybe he doesn't know that, but he killed his cells. Maybe he doesn't realize, but his cells are not being reborn again. His cells ceased to be born again. The problem is the soul doesn't scream loud enough for us to hear. The body screams louder. When I'm thirsty, I have to go grab a glass of water and drink it. But when the spirit is thirsty, cannot scream as loud as the body, so we don't really go to church and have communion. But the soul screams indeed, but sometimes we block our ears so we don't hear the scream of the souls. How about food? Food is the spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the food that God provides for us every day. The Holy Spirit resides inside us through baptism. And every day, this Holy Spirit gives us from within the Word of God, and the Word of God is the food that we need to live. And without the Word of God, we die. Without the Word of God, our cells cannot be born again. Without the Word of God, our souls will start to shrink, will cease to be reborn, and will come to a death status. How about someone who does not listen to the Holy Spirit, telling him what to do, and what's the right thing to do, and what not to do? How about someone who does not receive the Word of God through reading his Bible and through meditating in the Bible? How come someone does not listen to sermons of the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, which is the food that he needs constantly and he needs on a daily basis as nutrition, minerals, and vitamins to his soul? We need that. We need to be born again every day. Our souls screaming inside us, saying, give me water. Give me water of life. Give me communion, because without it, I am dead. Our souls scream inside us, telling us, give me food. I need to be fed by the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your heart. Listen to the Holy Spirit in your Bible. Listen to the Holy Spirit that God speaks to you through all nature around us, through sermons, through people around us. God used every means to talk to us, trying to communicate with us, trying to feed us with His words constantly. Let's today think of this very seriously. Think of it as a matter of death, of life. It's a matter of being born again or cease to live. It's a matter of deciding whether we would like to live forever with God or we decide to die. And if we decide to live, which I am sure that will be the option for people who are present here today, if we decide to live, so we have one way to live, the church and the Word of God, communion and the life of repentance, listening to the Word of God, eating the Word of God, and drinking from His blood. May God be glorified in our lives forever and ever. Amen.